Hey there, I am so excited to let you know that my upcoming book, Building Your Money Machine, is available for pre-order. Now, you might say, why do I want a pre-order book that I'm not going to get until June 11th, 2024, when it comes out? Here's why. First off, it's going to get you access to a whole handful of wealth resources that you can't get anywhere else. They will go away. These are special resources, trainings and tools and templates that allow you to implement them into your life, to get financial freedom started in your life. The whole idea behind this book is to light the path to financial freedom so you get the chance to live a life of choice, not a life of need. To be able to choose what you do, when you want to do it, with whom you want to do it with. And yet we seem to not want to talk about financial freedom or money or wealth because we demonize it. But the fact is that it's just a tool. And if we use the tool correctly, we have a richer lifestyle, but we have a deeper impact. People's lives are better. And I want to have that conversation. And I want to have it frankly. I want to have it openly. I want to give you the step-by-step process to get yourself the financial freedom. And that's what this book does for you. It's about getting your money to work harder for you than you did for it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to yourmoneymachinebook.com. Check out the wealth resources that you get for free, but they're going to expire. So you need to pre-order the book today, put your information in, and then we'll make sure that we get you the resources to get you on the road and on the path to financial freedom. And until I get a chance to see you on the road or see you on that path, always, always strive to live a life that outlives you. See you soon. This is the Affluent Entrepreneur Show for entrepreneurs that want to operate at a high level and achieve financial liberation. I'm your host, Mel Abraham, and I'll be sharing with you what it takes to create success beyond wealth so you can have a richer, more fulfilling lifestyle. In this show, you'll learn how business and money intersect so you can scale your business, scale your money, and scale your life while creating a deeper impact and living with complete freedom. Because that's what it really means to be an affluent entrepreneur. Hey there, welcome to this episode of the Affluent Entrepreneur Show. In this episode, we're going to talk to you about how do you quit your job? Okay, and here's the thing. I get a question like this at least once a week. Hey, Mel, when should I quit my job? Okay, and this is a really interesting question, but it's a more complicated answer because it can be really easy for some people to quit their job. In fact, I quit my job at the large consulting firm in downtown Los Angeles in the night, in an instant. Okay, now I did it in a really reckless way. We'll talk about that. But here's the thing. As a budding entrepreneur, and most people will sit back and say, I've got this side hustle and I'm doing the side hustle. When do I know that it's a good time to shift and go from side hustle to full-time hustle and then quit my job? So I'm going to walk through a framework that I have that I work with my clients when they're thinking about it. So they understand what it is called the entrepreneur transition formula. And it's kind of the 9 things to consider before you start to quit your job. But before we get there, let's really start to understand why this is so important. What, you know, because here's what I know is that if we're not good at getting this right, you end up living a dual life. In other words, what's happening is that you're working your day job and you're working for 7, 8, 9, 10 hours a day. And then you come home and you're working your night job, your side gig, your side hustle, and you're doing that. And you're not necessarily building something. It becomes the problem is that your passion is going to be at night. Your payment is going to be during the day. Okay, if that makes sense. So you're living this double life, if you will, which becomes a challenge because it's trying to live two existences. Now, we can do that, and I've done that, and I know people that have done that, and they've done it very well. It's just not something that's probably sustainable long-term when you start to look at work-life harmony. Remember I said, this isn't about balance in life. It's about harmony in life. When we start to look at things, and when we think about the affluence vision, the affluence visioning process that we use in the affluent blueprint, we hit
all the different domains of life, because we can talk. I can help you create a financial plan. I can help you create a business plan. I can create a wealth plan. We can do all these things to hit a financial target. The problem is that if all we're going after the financial target, the question you got to ask yourself is, at what cost? At what cost? What are you willing to sacrifice if all you're focused on and all you've defined is a financial target? And this is why I think that we need to look at it through the eyes of harmony and saying, I want to create $1 million in wealth, $10 million in wealth, whatever the number is. But at the same time, I want to be healthy and have well-being. I want to have a wonderful relationship. I want to have, you know, from the outside, people might say, oh, you want that perfect life. Well, why not? I want the perfect life. Nothing's going to be perfect, but it's going to be as close to perfect as possible because I'm going to be intentional about every domain of life and I'm going to define it. And so we need to understand that if we don't get this right, we're living this potential dual life where we're doing our day stuff for the payment and we're doing our night stuff for the passion. And at some point, they need to converge. The other thing that will happen is that there's no joy in earning, because remember, you're only doing the day job for the sake of earning, for the sake of making money, which really doesn't really excite you. It's not where your passion is. It's not where your love of it is. And we have to do this sometimes, because let's face it, if you got bills to pay, we don't just step out on bills. We're financially responsible. And I get it. Some of you may feel like you're in over your head. But if you made the commitment, we find a way to honor the commitments. That's the integrity, the ethics in which we should live, okay? I've made some bad decisions. I made some bad commitments, and I had to honor them. I had to pay them out, and I had to pay them off. It bugged me. It pissed me off every time I wrote a check and do all that. But it's just what it is. But understand, if we don't dial this transition right, we're going to have no joy in the earnings. And then ultimately what ends up happening is that you have no or little cash flow. You're doing this passion project for the passion of it, and there isn't anything that comes out of it. But when we get this dialed in, when we get this right, a couple things happen. First off, you find yourself in a situation where you're feeling in flow. I mean, it's that moment where all of a sudden time is lost. You're doing things and all of a sudden it's like midnight and you go, gosh, it felt like I just started. You're working and you're in flow, and the joy and the passion and everything is alive for you. That's what happens when you get this right and you end up in the right transition, the right plan, and making it happen. You feel in flow. You also are monetizing your passion. I feel absolutely blessed to have this show, to have people like you that I get to serve, to be side by side, to be one of you, one with you in all this process, to be able to do the programs that I do, to be able to speak all around the world and make a difference. To do that, I love doing it. That's my joy. That's where my joy is. In fact, I remember someone, right as I was coming out of the cancer, I just had some treatments and everything, and they asked if I could speak. And they said, you sure you're up for this? And I said, not only am I up for it, that's my healing. That's my joy. That's the place I need to be. That's the happy place for me. And so I went out and spoke. And that's the key, is that we find that place and we're truly monetizing our passion. I mean, what better way to make a living than making money with what we love? Now, let me clarify something, because I hear this all the time. Well, do what you love and the money will follow. All right. I'm going to call hogwash on that. Okay, that was a nice way of saying what I wanted to say, okay? It's BS. Do what you love and the money will follow doesn't mean that you're going to make money just because of things you love. Look, I love chocolate, okay? And the only thing that will follow me if I eat a lot of chocolate is a large waistline, okay? And so the key here, there's a distinction I want you to make. Yes, I want you to do what you love. However, the way the money follows is when you have the ability to create value in other people's lives with what you love. So create value in people's lives with what you love and the money will follow. That's the proper state. Create value in other people's lives and the money will follow. So we want to create value in other people's lives with our passions and allow the money to follow. Because when we get this right, look out, world, because now all of a sudden, this is where you get to freedom and you get to cash flow. So this is the way that this plays out. Now, there's a couple things you need to know before we get into the transition formula. And so the first thing is to understand this, is that there is a difference between committed and reckless, okay? There's a difference between committed and reckless. I remember a gal after I was speaking on stage, I think it was probably about 400 plus people there when I was speaking. And I got done speaking. She came up to me and she was so excited and tear in her eye. And she says, I'm going into my company on Monday and I'm quitting. And I go, hold the horses. Because here's the question. Okay. There's a difference between committed and reckless. Okay. I get that you want to be committed. I get that you maybe want to burn the boats, but is it a reckless thing to do? Okay. After talking to her, she's the primary earner in the family and she's got two kids. And I go, it's reckless unless you have a large savings account, which she didn't. It's reckless. I get the commitment, but it is reckless to decide I'm just going to go all in and not worry about it. And then she said, well, I've got my retirement. I'll just draw out of the retirement. Ooh, that is like fingernails on a chalkboard to an accountant. Okay. Because here's what's going to happen. I don't ever want any of you out there to tap your retirement unless it is an absolute break the glass. Holy heck. The last ditch effort emergency. Did I make that clear enough? Because especially if you're under age 59 and a half in America, because you are going to get hit with huge taxes and penalties. So depending on the state, you're going to get hit at least with a 10% penalty and possibly 2% or more penalty for state purposes, plus the tax. So bottom line is, if you ever draw out of your retirement, it's going to cost you 50 cents on the dollar probably. So we don't ever do that. We don't ever do that because two things happen. You pay a big amount in taxes, so you lose what you earned, you lose what you built, but more importantly, you lose all the growth for the rest of your life. So if I had $100,000 in a retirement account, I pull it out to go into a business endeavor, okay? That $100,000 now shrinks to $50,000 because I just paid taxes. So I have $50,000 to go into my business endeavor with. Now, maybe that business endeavor goes well. Maybe that business endeavor makes up for it in spades. But we know statistically, a lot of businesses fail. So I don't want you to take something that is for your future and take it out. Because here's the other thing. The $100,000 that was in there, if you left it, rule of 72s, and I can go over the rule of 72s another time. But rule of 72s, this thing will double in 7 to 10 years. So the $100,000 becomes $200,000. Another 7 to 10 years, it becomes $400,000. But because you took it out, you lose all the growth on it. Hopefully this is making sense, okay? But bottom line is we need to have a smart transition plan. The formula is going to help you with that and do that. So there's a difference between committed and reckless. I don't want people being reckless. I want them to be committed, but we want to be smart. So that's why we have a transition plan. Number two, you need to plan and test. In other words, we don't just do it. We create a strategic plan and we test the waters. Will this concept work? We do some testing. We do some work to do market research to see, will someone buy it? Is this making sense? Before we start to cut the ties of anything else that's going on. So we plan and test. That's number two. And number three, the other third thing you need to know is to understand what your scale threshold is. I'll talk a bit more about this in the formula, okay? This is the point at which you believe the financial viability of your new entrepreneurial endeavor is at a point that almost it's assured. And so now you sit back and say, I've hit my threshold and now I can move forward. I can leave my job. I can now transition out, all right? So the three things that we need to understand. Committed versus reckless. We want to be committed, but we don't want to be reckless. We want to plan it. Number two, we want to plan and test. And number three, we need to set our scale threshold. So with that, let's talk about this whole idea of the entrepreneurial transition formula. This is the formula. This is the process that I take people through when they say to me, hey, Mel, I want to quit my job. What do I need to do? Well, what we're really in search for is this idea of an effective transition. What do I mean an effective transition? There's three things that an effective transition has. The first is that there is clarity. You know specifically what you're trying to do. You know specifically where you're trying to go. You know specifically how you want to get there. Okay. Number two, you're moving towards your calling. Okay. I truly believe with this journey, what I am on now, this is what I've been called to do. This is what I'm meant to do. This is what I've been working towards for 30 plus years. Okay. This is what I'm here to do. And I'm called to do it. And an effective transition also moves you and gets you into a place where it's more. You're going to go through uncomfortable times, but it's going to build comfort. In other words, when we do it properly, you're comfortable with the transition. You understand it. You have planned it. You've planned alternatives. You have the options. You know where the problems may lie. So you're more comfortable. You're more certain. Another way to say it is that you have more certainty around that when we have an effective transition. So there are three things that you need to have in place to make this happen, to have an effective transition. The first is that you need to prepare. There's a preparation phase. The preparation phase is really about how do you go from it being sketchy and you being sketchy about it to being confident. When someone sits there and asks you, are you sure that you have the absolute confidence that, yeah, I've done the preparation work. This is where you do all your thinking. This is where you do your thinking about it, your ideation, your creation. All of this stuff is in the preparation phase. And we'll talk about the three things you need to do in the preparation phase. Okay. But we want to prepare in the preparation phase to lead us into the next phase, which really is the evaluation. So it's great that we think about it. It's great that we create ideas and we have this ideation and we do all that stuff. But at some point, we actually need to analyze it. We need to evaluate it to see if it works, because we can go in half educated, half understood, half armed, naive, or we can go in fully empowered. And when we evaluate something, when we kick the tires on something, when we turn around and check it 12 ways from Sunday, we are empowered. Because you say, I've gone through this. I understand where it's going. I understand what the possible pitfalls and problems are. Every time we do this in business, we start to kick it around a bunch of different ways and say, what could happen? What happens here? What are the alternatives? A lot of people say entrepreneurs, they're risk takers. They're not. They're risk mitigators. They avoid risk. And the way they avoid risk is they analyze it. They evaluate it. They kick the tires on it. And they go from naive to empowered. From naive to empowered, which leads us to the third pillar of this formula. And that's this, is that now it's about execution. So the first piece is about thinking. The second piece is analyzing. This is about doing. This is going from idea to results, from idea to results. So how does this happen? What do we need to do? Well, let's talk about the preparation phase. There's three things that we need to think about in the preparation phase. And there are three steps. I want you to look at this as a checklist. And I want you to write this down. Those of you that are just listening, I want you to get a piece of paper out. I want you to stop everything. Now, if you're driving, you stop the car, you do the safe. But I want you to get a piece of paper out. I want you to take notes. You should have been taking notes the whole time, but I'm going to remind you now to take notes. And those of you that are watching, great. I'm going to keep these graphics. We're going to put them in the show notes so you have access to them. And you'll get access to all of the graphics to make that happen. So here's the first thing. The first thing in the preparation phase is to really examine your passion. Is this really what you're passionate about? See, too often we see an opportunity and we chase the opportunity because it's an opportunity. The question we got to ask, is this the right opportunity for you? As an entrepreneur, as someone in this space, you're going to get opportunities left and right. As you become more successful, they're going to come at you fast and furious. You're going to need to be able to discern which opportunities are the ones that you need to stay with, which opportunities are the ones that you need to let go. Because not all opportunities are your opportunities. Or not all opportunities is it the right time for. So I let opportunities go all the time because it's just not the right time or it's not for me. Okay. So the first thing, the first step is to start to look at your passions, listing out what you're passionate about. What are the things that mean something to you? What are the things that'll get you up excited in the morning? What are the things that'll keep you up late at night in a positive way? What are the things that are going to drive you where you have this energy like I do to be able to do this? The second thing is once you identify those passions, I want you to identify, remember I said it's not about doing what you love, but it's about creating value in someone else's life with what you love. I want you to detail out how your passions create value in other people's lives. How your passions can create value in other people's lives. That means, is it a product? Is it a service? How is it delivered? What are the mechanisms of it? All of those things. Because if it cannot improve the human condition, if it does not serve a pervasive need or problem that they have, if it does not cure something or help them with something that they want help with, then it's probably not going to be sellable. At least not yet. At least not now. Okay. So we need to examine the passions. Then we have to examine the value we can create in people's lives with the passions. And now we need to test it. Now we need to go. And here's what I tell people to do. I want you to interview at least a dozen people in your target market. I want you to interview them in a way that you can pull from them whether the passions matter, whether the value's there, what they're willing to pay, all of those things. So you have a complete understanding of this, because now in this preparation phase, it went from thinking about it and being kind of sketchy, going, I don't know if this is going to work. It might work. I don't know. To I figured out how to create value in other people's lives. I've now talked to a bunch of people in there about it. And they love the idea and they're willing to pay. Now, here's the other thing. I've done this before. I said, great, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a pilot launch of this. We'll talk about the micro launch in the next stage. And let's check them at the door. If they're willing to swipe a credit card, if they're willing to give you a check, if they're willing to give you cash or Venmo, whatever it is, but if they're willing to pay for it, you got something. Because if one person's willing to pay, there'll be more. Now, assuming the one person isn't mom, brother, sister, family members, that are doing it because they feel bad for you or they want to make you feel good, that's a legit target market buy, we can do that, all right? So once we have that in place, once we know that, all of a sudden, we can feel more confident going into the next phase. The next phase is the evaluation phase. Now we sit back and say, all right, I have something here. So now the next step, there's three steps in the evaluation phase I want you to do. So we said, figure out the passion, figure out the value, interview to determine that it makes sense. Then we plan. Let's create a strategic plan. I am not talking about some godforsaken business plan document that sits on a shelf and creates and catches dust. I'm talking about an execution plan. What are the steps? What are the timelines? What do we need? What are the resources? Who are the customers? How are we going to put this together? What cash do we need? What labor do we need? What are the things that are going to make this come to life? Maybe you need an email provider. Maybe you need, and I don't want you getting caught up and doing all kinds of branding and stuff. The branding doesn't matter if the product doesn't make sense. You can make it as beautiful as you want. Waste a whole lot of money on a website. Waste a whole lot of money on graphics and designers and all that stuff. And that will not sell it. Okay. I know I'm getting a little riled up here. Okay, but I see it all the time, a lot of wasted money on this. Let's prove the concept. Create an execution plan. Let's get a minimum viable product out into the marketplace. I'm an investor in a business right now, and that's what we're doing. We're building a product, and within the next handful of weeks, we'll have a minimum viable product. It is not the ultimate product, but it's a minimum viable product to do a deeper test dive with the marketplace. Are they willing to swipe a credit card? Are there things that are missing? Are there things that we need to change? Are there things that need to work? Because that's what we need to do. Because then that leads us to the second step in the evaluation phase. The second step in the evaluation phase is to do a micro launch. Here's what I mean by that. I'm not going to go broad-based. We'll do a micro launch. When I first launched Thoughtpreneur Academy, And when I first launched the Affluence Blueprint, we did a micro launch. We literally did a launch of the product to a small group. One, did they buy? Two, did they do it? Did they get the results? Three, were there things that we needed to improve? We learned all of the stuff, the richness, before we went broad-based, before we went broad to the market. And so what we need to do, whether it's product-based, service-based, personal brand-based, is we want to do a micro launch, a test, a shot across the bow, but a legitimate one where I'm asking someone to put money up. When I did the Thoughtpreneur micro launch, I didn't even have the product fully created yet. And I told them, it was like the beginning of December. And I said, I did a webinar, I did a sale, and I said, here's the deal. When we roll this thing out, it's going to be priced at whatever. And I gave them a 40% discount, plus I grandfathered them to the ultimate product. I said, if you're willing to go on this journey with me and be a feedback loop for me, I'll give you this 40% discount, and then I'll take you on this journey. People bought before it was created, and they helped me create it. And it's one of my most successful programs, the Thoughtpreneur Academy, for those that are thought leaders trying to build distinction and all that. But the point being is that we need to do a micro launch. We don't sit there and do it all recorded and do all the stuff and do. We have to do some prototypes if you're doing product-based and potentially that. But minimum viable product, we do a micro launch, we test it, we make sure that it goes, which leads us to the very last step of the evaluation phase, and that is to assess. Once we do the micro launch, we step back, we look at it, and we say, did this make sense? Do we think we can scale it? What did we learn? What could we do better? What were the big ahas? What were the big wins? All of those things will make your full launch more powerful, more empowered, and more profitable. So we assess it. Okay. So now we've gone through the preparation phase where you know that your passion makes sense. You've figured out how to create value with it. You've interviewed people that made it make sense. You've gone into the evaluation phase. You created a strategic execution plan. You did a micro launch. You've got data. You've got information. Now we move to the last phase of your transition. And that is execution. Now we start to go fully from idea to results. The first is this. Now we start to look at the financial viability of this. In other words, now with the data and the information we have, the question we've got to ask ourselves is it financially viable? Can I scale this? Can I make money at this? Is it too expensive? Are there, you know, if I'm creating a product and there's too much regulation around it, I may not be in the right space for it or the right place for it right now. Do I need money? Those kinds of things. What's the financial viability of the plan now? Now that you have good data, you can look at it and say, what's the financial viability? Is this possible? Is it going to support me? Is it going to support my family? How much money do I need to make? Do I need to make 50,000, 100,000, 200,000, a million? Maybe the vision is for millions, but right now we're talking about the transition. How much do you need to transition? Okay. Is it financially viable? That's the first step, which is going to need to be doing some math. I'm sorry, creatives, but you're going to have to do some math. There's a thing called spreadsheets. We got to use some spreadsheets and everything, but we got to figure it out. We don't just blindly go in and not know the financial viability of something. Step number two in the execution phase now, that leads us to step number two is to ask yourself, who do I need in this game with me? Am I doing it all alone as a solopreneur or do I need other resources? And when I say team, that doesn't mean that you're hiring employees. They could be contractors. They could be project-based. They could be VAs. But what resources do you need? Do you need an ads person, marketing person? Now, don't go overboard on hiring and doing a lot of things because you put a huge financial burden on you and the company and the operations when you don't have revenues coming in. This is why financial viability is the first step. I want to look at how do we make this financially viable and what do we need? What are the core resources to making this happen in a proper time frame that we need? Who are the people that we need? And then that leads to this last piece, which I mentioned already, and that is what's your scale threshold? So here's what I mean by the scale threshold. How much do you need to have generated to prove this out enough to say, I'm done with my job? Your scale threshold is different than mine. Your scale threshold is different than everyone else's because it's circumstance-based. And I wish I could tell you what it is, specifically a dollar amount, but I can't. And just being upfront with you, the fact is if you've got a number of kids and some of them going to college and you've got a house payment, your scale threshold is very different than someone who's single with no children and renting an apartment, okay? And so, but I will tell you this, once you see that you've replaced or you've successfully replaced 30 to 35% of your income with this idea on a part-time basis, I believe that you could scale it to replace 100% at that point. That's just my belief. It depends on the business. So you got to go through the financial viability test, but you need to look at it and say, my scale threshold, what is it? How much do I need to be confident to do this? Now, let me be clear. Those of you that have significant others or a partner in life, this is not something to be made. The decision is not something to be made on your own. You got to have conversations with each other because if they're depending on you and your income and you're depending on them, there needs to be a real conversation about this so you agree on the scale threshold and when you'll move out of it. So what I would look at is how much money do I need to have in the bank to make it make sense? Now, mind you, you all know that I have the wealth priority ladder. And one of the things that I want people to have, especially entrepreneurs such as yourself, is at some point, and I know it's conservative, but it proved right in the pandemic. And I've been saying it for years before the pandemic, is that I think you need a minimum of 9 to 18 or 24 months in a peace of mind fund. I call it, some people will call it emergency fund. I want 9 to 18 or 24 months to make that make sense. Because with that, you know that you have a solid cushion, peace of mind, you don't have the stress of finances, and you can move through it. So assuming you have that in place, then the rest of it is, can this idea replace my income? And if I can get to 30, 35% on a part-time basis, then when I dedicate full-time to it and start to boost it, I should be able to push that up, okay? I should be able to push that up. But it depends on your situation. So going back through it again, there's three phases: the preparation phase, the evaluation phase, and the execution phase. The preparation phase, we need to figure out what your passions are. We need to find how to create value in other people's lives. That's step two, create value in other people's lives with your passions. Step three is to do some interviews, to test the idea before you do anything else, to see what they say, see what they think, look at how they would like to look at doing market research, basically. Now you can transition to the preparation phase. This is the phase where we analyze it, where we go deeper and we say, okay, first blush, it made sense. Now let's go deeper on it. So now we create an execution plan. Step one, create an execution plan in the preparation phase. Step two is once we have the plan, we execute on the plan, we do a micro launch, a very small test launch of the product, service, or solution that you're thinking of putting out there. And then step three, we assess the results to refine it, to change it, to adjust it, to tweak it, change the messaging, change the product, modify it, what worked, what didn't work, before we go full-fledged into the execution phase, which is phase number three. In the execution phase, now we start to look at what's the financial viability of this? How do we make this work? What's the profitability? How do we scale it? And then step two in here is to understand who do we need, what are the resources, the team, if you will. And then step three is understanding what your scale threshold is. At what point does it make sense and give you the confidence to move out safely in a committed way and not a reckless way? So you've effected a transition into a successful business, financially smart way to do it, and more effective way to do it. So this is what I walk people through. This is what I help people with when they turn around and say, hey, Mel, I want to start to do my own thing. When should I quit my job? Well, you follow the entrepreneur transition formula. That's what you do. All right. So I hope this helps you. If you are one of those that are looking to go, I want to move and I want to do my own thing, but I'm not sure when, I'm not sure how, Follow the Entrepreneur Transition Formula. Do me a favor. If you're just listening to this instead of watching it, go to the show notes. The graphic, the formula itself, the framework for the formula itself will be there in the show notes. And that way we make sure you have all the resources that you can to make that happen. If you have questions, if you have challenges, do me a favor. Let me know. Let me know. One of the best ways to do that is to make sure you're part of our private Facebook group, the Affluent Entrepreneur Community. This is where we have real conversations about money, about wealth, about business. It's about the intersection of business and money. How do we scale a business to scale your money and scale your life? That's what we're going to be talking about in there. It's a place for you to be safe, to ask real questions, so we can help each other become affluent entrepreneurs on a journey to make a difference in the world. And for now, that's all I got for you on this episode. I look forward to seeing you, hearing from you, and chatting with you in the next episode of the Affluent Entrepreneur Show. Look forward to chatting soon. See you later. Keep rocking it. Talk soon. Cheers. Thank you for listening to the Affluent Entrepreneur Show with me, your host, Mel Abraham. If you want to achieve financial liberation to create an affluent lifestyle, join me in the Affluent Entrepreneur Facebook group now by going to melabraham.com/group, and I'll see you there.